Good evening. We're going to have our Bible reading now. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to John chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, please put your hand in the air and someone will come and give you a Bible. We're going to be reading from John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. While you find that, I'm just going to read what we read weeks ago when we first started this series from John chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These words that we're going to read in a sec from John chapter 10, the purpose of them is so that you may believe in Jesus and not be a mindless drone and give up true life, but actually so that you may have life in his name. So let's turn to John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" Let's pray and then let's have a look at this part of God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good shepherd Jesus. We thank you that he is good, glorious, amazing, and awesome. We thank you that he laid down his life for his sheep. And please, Lord, would you help us to listen to his voice tonight as we look at his word? Would you transform us and change us so that we would follow him more closely? Help us to love him for your glory. Amen. So, who do you listen to? Who is it, and we use this phrase, don't we, who has your ear, that influences the way you act or speak or think? It's an important question. Whose voice impacts you? As I've been reading this week, I've come across something called the Teachability Index. I've not heard of it before. You can probably guess what it does. It shows how teachable someone is based on someone's willingness and wiseness to grow and adapt. I bet we can all think of people who might score fairly low on this score. Stop thinking about me. But it's apparently a very famous and important index with regards to business success. And this is what someone said of it. The question isn't do we listen, for we are all influenced by people. No one is truly independent. But the most important question is actually, who do you listen to? Don't be impacted by just anyone. Choose wisely, because listening to the wrong person can cause your business and life to fall apart. That makes sense, doesn't it? Choose wisely, because listening to the wrong person can cause your business and life to fall apart. In a world of 1,000 voices, from peers to celebrities, pressures from employers to climb the ladder, from politicians, advertisers, religious leaders, and many others, all trying to get our ears, we need to choose wisely who we listen to. Some advice I've seen people give on the internet. So someone posted this, my first day at a new school, what should I do? A reply came back, go into the lunch hall and just punch the biggest kid. No one will mess with you then. Reply then came back, sorry, should have clarified, my first day at a new school as a teacher. The reply came back, go into the lunch hall, find the biggest kid and punch him. Or another one, how do I swim faster? Reply, when you dive in, go to the bottom of the swimming pool and sniff the white lines. They smell of cherry and make you go really fast. Bad, bad advice. Or how about this one? How do I get rid of a bad cough? A reply came back, take laxatives because you'll then be too scared to cough. Listening to the wrong voice can get you into a lot of trouble. We need to choose wisely who we listen to. That makes sense, doesn't it? We need to check their qualifications. It shouldn't be just who shouts the loudest, or who runs the fastest, or who sings the best. We need to pick rightly, and we need to pick wisely. And maybe you noticed the question right at the end of our reading in verse 20. It's a really good question for us to be asking. Look at it, it's simply four words. Why listen to him? It's a question that's asked about Jesus. Why let Jesus have our ear and impact the way we live? Why Jesus and not Muhammad or Marx or Mandela or Mahatma Gandhi or Manager Mandy or Mike from next door? Why Jesus rather than those people? Well, as we've worked through this series in the I Ams that have gone in John's Gospel, we've been given many reasons why we should listen to Jesus and not those others. But tonight we're just going to have a look at two reasons from this section that we've just read. Why listen to Jesus? Listen to Jesus because he is good, and listen to Jesus because he is God. So the first reason why we should listen to Jesus, because he is good. Because he is good. Come, let's jump into our passage. We were introduced to the picture last week, but the scene is of a flock of sheep, a flock who's in a field eating away. Our passage that we're looking at starts at verse 11. I know we read from the beginning of the chapter, but actually this picture, the good shepherd, comes in from verse 11 through to the end. And it's a picture of a flock who's in a field eating away. And in verse 12, we're introduced to this fella called the hired hand. Now, he's not the shepherd, but he's been hired to look after the sheep, paid to look after them, to lead the sheep around and make sure they get lots of good green grass. But then we get a second character that enters into the picture, and he comes out of the bushes. It's a large, nasty, hungry, highly dangerous wolf. And as his eyes see the sheep, he sees it's dinner time. And the question is posed, what is the hired hand going to do? Well, everyone listening to the story would have answered the same. Verse 12, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And we're told why in verse 13, because he cares nothing for the sheep. Now, please don't think too badly of the hired hand. The hired hand isn't evil. He's not a terrible person, not like the robbers and thieves we saw in verse 2 last week. That's not what Jesus is getting at. It's not that looking after the sheep, it's that looking after the sheep is just a job to him. He's paid to lead them to grass, get them back again, and when the first sign of danger comes, he is off. It's simply above his pay grade to deal with wolves. That's all it is. He's not evil, he's not bad, he's not wicked. He's just not paid to put his life at risk for some sheep. I'm a first aid trained. Some of you are probably first aid trained as well. The first rule of first aid is never put your own life at risk. If a situation looks like it might be too dangerous, then stay away and ring 999 for help. That's the first rule of first aid that we are told now. If it's too risky, don't put your life on the line. One dead body is better than two. And that's the case here. Hired hand versus a wolf, better a couple of dead sheep than a couple of dead sheep and a dead hired hand. The hired hand acts like all the rest of us would when we're facing a giant, scary wolf and our life is on the line. He's just a normal person. He runs. But then we're introduced to another character. And this hired hand is contrasted to this other character, whom Jesus says, he is this person. We get the good shepherd in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. And he goes on to say, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Hired hand compared to the good shepherd, who is so good and caring and loving that he lays down his life for the sheep. Not for another person, not for another shepherd, not for a king, but he lays it down for his sheep. It's the comparison. A normal self-server, like we all are, or the amazing self-sacrifice. The normal or the extraordinarily good. The hired hand acts like most of us. The good shepherd goes above and beyond for his sheep. Now, if you were here with us last week, you would have heard Tim mention this. But in this picture, the sheep represent all of us. The Bible makes it really clear. Isaiah 53 says, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. The Bible is actually rich with this picture language of us being like sheep. Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34, and many others. And as unflattering as it is, we are all like the sheep. And when you are a sheep, and especially a sheep that faces a wolf, the message is clear. You need a good shepherd to listen to, not a hired hand. You need someone who is self-sacrificing, not someone who is self-serving. And that's really important when we are choosing whose voice to listen to. Are we going to listen to someone who is self-serving, or are we going to listen to the good shepherd? We have two political candidates who are coming up trying to be prime minister of our country, trying to be our leader. You ask them, would they lay down their life for one of you guys? The answer would be probably no. They wouldn't do it. But neither would we if we were in their situation either. We're going to listen to the one who cares for us, even to the point of giving up his death, aren't we? It's a no-brainer. If you have two people to listen to, someone who is self-serving and someone who is self-sacrificing, you're going to listen to the one who is good and cares for you. You listen to your son or your mum or your dad who tells you to delete that email rather than listening to the Nigerian prince who wants to give you a ton of money if you only send your bank details to him. Why? Because your son, mum, or dad, they care for you. The Nigerian prince does not care for you. But you might say, that's all well and good to make that claim. Anyone can just claim to care for his sheep. I want to know, did Jesus walk the talk? He can claim it, but did he actually do it? Did Jesus do what he claimed to do? Well, Jesus didn't just claim to be self-sacrificing. He showed it. At the end of John's gospel, we see Jesus dying on the cross, and it looks like a massive waste of a brilliant life. But we're told the reason why. It was no waste. We're told that this death was to take away the just punishment for our sins. He drank the cup of God's wrath that exists because we do not listen to the good shepherd naturally. 1 Peter 3 says this, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus didn't just say it, but he did it. You see, the wolf is a clever picture of Satan and death. And the picture we're given in verse 12 of a flock under attack by a wolf, a picture of dead sheep flung everywhere as the wolf kills another one and another one, is an accurate picture of our world that we live in today, under attack from Satan and death. We're like sheep running around like headless chickens, trying to rescue ourselves from this wolf, death and Satan, but having absolutely no power to do it. We fail time and time again, like sheep scattered under the attack of Satan. Sorry, like sheep scattered under the attack of a wolf. We are scattered under the attack of death. Go look at a graveyard if you need convincing. If we're to listen to someone, the best person to listen to is someone who lays down his life to take on our biggest and scariest enemy. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." As the prospect of death and the cup of God's wrath loomed over Jesus like a wolf with drool dripping down his face, Jesus didn't flinch. He didn't turn around and flee like the hired hand. He willingly laid down his life to rescue his sheep from death. Why listen to Jesus? Because he is good. He's not normal like everyone else who's come before him or after him. He is super good. So listen to him, trust him, and follow his voice to be rescued. But maybe you're here tonight and you have been rescued to him. You listened to his voice either weeks, months, years ago, and you trust him. Well, can I ask, does your life still suggest that you listen to Jesus? When he tells you not to lie, when he tells you not to gossip, when he tells you not to click that button on the internet, or tells you not to get angry, do you listen to his voice? Do you say, "Yes, okay, my good shepherd is good and cares for me and wants what is good for me"? Or do you ignore his voice because of fear? Fear that you might miss out on something that you perceive as more fun. Fear of missing out of a fuller life because some other voice says it. Jesus says no, this other voice says do it. Do you fear that you're going to miss out? You think, actually, you know, do your actions suggest that Jesus isn't good? Who does your life suggest you listen to? Is it the many voices in this world that says, "Buy this, gather up lots of money"? Or is it Jesus that says, "Trust me, I will never let you down"? When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, whose voice do you listen to? The one who says, "I am with you and I will never leave you"? Or the world that says, "You've been let down, give up on Jesus"? Trust Jesus' voice. Listen to Jesus because he is good. Which leads us on to the second point. The second reason, listen to him because he is God. Listen to Jesus because he is God. Now, you've probably not thought this through about this situation, but in reality, a shepherd laying down his life for a sheep was very rare, and in fact would have been thought of as fairly stupid. When a shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, he then leaves his sheep shepherdless. They have no one to look after them, no one to care for them. If you don't mind me mixing my metaphors, if the shepherd lays down his sheep, he leaves the sheep like sitting ducks, ready to be taken. But Jesus goes on to show he's not just any old shepherd. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 17. Verse 17, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it back up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Do you see what he's claiming there? Jesus is massively in control. Can you see that? No one can take his life from him. He is completely in control of that. He lays it down of his own accord, but not just that, but he takes it back up again. He is in utter control of his life but not just his life, but life and death. Complete control, complete power, complete authority. There are many things in life that show how out of control we are. You've probably had many this week. A man tells a story of how his wife popped out to do a little bit of shopping. He was at home waiting for a visit from a Thames Valley water advisor whilst looking after his two sons. One was four and the other one was just under one. As the advisor pulls up, he's holding his baby in his arm and he's ready to answer the door. And suddenly the four-year-old appears at the bottom of the stairs with no clothes on. He's never done that before, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's decided he's going to show the world his amazing skills of getting undressed. And then he proceeds by running around the living room like an aeroplane. At that same time, his baby then decides to empty himself into his nappy, up his back, and all over the father's arm as the doorbell goes ding dong. I remember him saying, God constantly reminds me that I'm not in control of very much. And it's true, isn't it? We're not. There are reminders everywhere. Work with kids or teenagers or anyone to that fact. You'll be reminded constantly that we are not in control. There are too many external factors which are too big for us. As you get older and your body starts to ache and hurt and fall away, you very quickly realize that you're not even in control over your own body. We're really not in control of very much, are we? We most certainly are not in control of our own death. If someone more powerful than us wanted to kill us, we could not stop them. We'd have no power over that. We'd have no control. But Jesus is different. Jesus has control over his death. No one is more powerful than him. He has the ability to lay it down at his own accord and pick it up at his own accord. In history, many people have given their lives for things. It could be a pointless, sentimental death, like similar to Romeo and Juliet, or it could be a heroic death, like a soldier at war giving his life for freedom. When people die, they stay dead. They have no control over what happens after that. But Jesus is different. Jesus is in full control of life and death and everything that can impact that. He is claiming to be the God shepherd. He's claiming to be God. If you jump with me to verses 31 to 33 of John chapter 10, it says this: again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy." Why? Because he is a mere man who claims to be God. People say Jesus never claimed to be God. They really have not read the Bible. The people who were there with Jesus at that time saw Jesus claim to be God. If you jump to the end of John's gospel, we see that this wasn't just an empty claim. This wasn't just a nothing claim. But if you jump to John chapter 20 and just simply read the titles in chapter 19, you see the death of Jesus. Chapter 20, the end of 19, the burial of Jesus. Chapter 20, you see the empty tomb. And then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and Jesus appears to his disciples. It wasn't an empty claim. Jesus rose again. How does that compare to the other voices in history? Muhammad died in 632 and stayed dead. Buddha died in 483 BC and stayed dead. Marx died 1883 and stayed dead. Gandhi died in 1948 and stayed dead. Even those who did good in this world, Dr. Martin Luther King died in 1968 AD and stayed dead. Jesus Christ died around 33 AD, but what did the eyewitnesses say? He has risen and he is alive. Jesus says he is the one who is in complete and utter control. So let me ask you this question, the question that we started off with. Whose voice are you going to listen to? Whose voice are you going to allow to impact you? Are you going to listen to the voice of the one who is truly good, who truly knows you, truly cares for you, and lays down his life for you? Or are you going to listen to all the others who are self-serving, who only want themselves at the top? Are you going to listen to the one who is God, the one who had complete authority over his life, control over death and life after that, who died and rose again? Or are you going to listen to the many voices who are going to die and stay dead? If you listen to the wrong voices, you will end up in lots of trouble. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' word for it and listen to him. Listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Good Shepherd. We thank you that Jesus didn't just claim many amazing things, but he proved it. We thank you that he proved it on the cross, that he was good, willing to lay down his life for his sheep. We thank you that he proved that he was God by raising himself from the dead. Please, Lord, when we fear things and we are tempted not to listen to him, would you remind us of how good he is and that he is God? And would you give us the strength to obey him? Help us for your glory. Amen.